You see, there'll always be a cross in our journey.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
Thank you.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 13. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Although he was in the form of God and equal with God, he did not take advantage of this equality. Instead, he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, by becoming like other humans, by having a human appearance. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. This is why God has given him an exceptional honor, the name honored above all other names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven or earth and in the world below will kneel and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My dear friends, you have always obeyed, not only when I was with you, but even more now that I'm absent. In the same way, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is God who produces in you the desires and actions that please him.
The cross is going to be our central theme. We all need discipline at times, and that even Jesus was endured the cross as a discipline, if you will, in order that we might have what we have today, and that is salvation. But even Adam and Eve had to endure discipline. And today, as we talk about self-denial, and we talk about obedience, and we talk about following, even they were unable to deal with denial and obedience as well, because Jesus gave them, or God gave them, instructions. He said, you can do anything you want in the garden. Just don't eat off of that tree that I told you about, that tree of knowledge and evil. And they couldn't deny themselves the privilege of being able to eat off of that tree. They just had to try it. They had to check it out and see what was there. And subsequently, they had to suffer discipline. They were thrown out of the garden. They were put out of the garden, and they had to work and live and earn toil for their lives. The women, you and I, have had to suffer pains. I haven't suffered any pain from childhood, but so many of you have. That was part of her punishment. And the snake would slither on the ground all the rest of his life because of his involvement in that. So today we turn to self-denial and obedience and the need to follow Christ and how we have to take up our cross and follow Christ daily. And so we read from Matthew two portions of scripture that in one way or another, Jesus mentions multiple times in the gospel. Because it's important. And so I think it's significant that he mentions that it's important that we engage in self-denial. We engage in obedience. We engage in the importance of following and taking up our cross. So we turn first to Matthew chapter 10, two short verses, chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. For those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And then over in chapter 16, we read these verses, verses 24 through 28. Then Jesus said to the disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? If the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, then he will repay everyone for what he has done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And it's interesting that in these two texts, unlike the book of Luke, Luke says we must take up our cross daily. Take up our cross daily and follow after him. One of the things that we learn about the cross is that in 2000, there were 2,000 Jews who were crucified as a revolt in Galilee. And their crosses were placed all along the roads in Galilee for everyone to see and everyone to look at. And the guilty in that day carried their crossbeam on their shoulders to the place of crucifixion and staggered under the weight of it. And many of them died in the course of that. And we know that in many of the films that Hollywood has made, we don't know exactly what happened with Jesus, but everything we see says that Unlike the others, he was forced to carry the entire cross to Calvary. The vertical beam already attached to that cross beam, and already having suffered from exhaustion and severe blood loss, in addition to the torture that he incurred from Pilate and his soldiers, we know that he carried that cross the entire way to Calvary with some help from Simon of Cyrene. But each of the weeks of these next few weeks, we're going to have different words. And today, as I said, we're going to talk about self-denial and obedience. But we're also going to talk about shame, because we incur shame because of our sin, and we have to deal with that shame that we experience. We have to look at the reconciliation. The cross brings us to a new place when we reconcile ourselves to Christ. Jesus knew when to ask for support. We're also going to proclaim the magnitude of the cross. And we also are going to look at the cross of Christ and the life of grace and what it means for others, and the fact that we stand in the gap for other people to show them what the cross is and what a life of grace can mean for them. So don't miss any weeks, the next few weeks, because you might miss something in the process of the thing. But we've read those two texts already. And the challenge of the Christian life is one that, as I said, Jesus taught on multiple occasions. We must be willing to engage in denial, self-denial. One of the things that the United Methodist Women has historically done in years past is they've had an offering on self-denial. Now, it's not a difficult self-denial. It just simply involves them giving up some pocket change, if you will. And it's come out in different ways. It usually comes out in a little calendar. And they put in so many coins for however many televisions they have, and for however many items of clothing they have, and for how many pairs of shoes they have, and it comes out in different ways. But it's a way of looking at, yeah, I see those looks. Oh, dear, I'd be in trouble. So it kind of reminds us of, oh, dear, I'm accumulating things. And sometimes that's part of the issue. Some of you may have already decided for Lent what you're going to give up. Some of you may have decided you're going to give up chocolate, or you may have decided to give up soda pop, or some favorite food that you're going to eat. I always challenge folks with, maybe it's not so much food we need to give up, but you know, we live in this world of technology. How much time do you spend on Facebook? And I've actually seen some of my colleagues and some folks on Facebook. Obviously, I haven't given up Facebook myself. I don't spend that much time on Facebook. That's why I didn't choose to give that up. But I've been interested at looking at the number of people who said, oh, by the way, I won't be with you because I'm not going to be on Facebook as part of my Lenten discipline. So that tells you a little bit about how technology grips our population. Perhaps it's spending time on the computer. Now, that may be a little difficult for some of us because the computer is our way of life. We have to be on the computer. But maybe we can figure out some way to not be connected to it in other times besides work when we have to be. Playing those mindless games on Facebook or on the computer or something like that that we lose time in. Maybe that's something we need to give up as well. So what have you decided to give up to stretch yourself during these few weeks? Or what are you going to add? Our bishop put out a Lenten message this week, and it was interesting. He said, maybe you don't so much give up something, but that you add something that might stretch you, take you in a new direction. Part of this time is about taking ourself out of the equation, but bringing Christ to the forefront. You know, we live in a life where it's all about us. It's all about us. And God gets put in what I call the spiritual backseat of our automobile. And we call on God when it's convenient or when it's necessary, when we're hopelessly lost and we've lost our way. And it's like, God, help me. I'm in a mess. You can get me out of this. And so we bring him to the front seat to help us get us out of the mess. When really, if we would put him in the front seat all of the time and have him be at the center of our lives. Our obedience and self-denial may ask us to give up, not just during Lent, but at other times, in order to be fully available to God. Giving up our desires. What are those desires that we have? The desire for money, the desire for wealth, the desire for fame, the desire for fill in the blank. What are your ambitions? What is that one thing you really would like to be able to accomplish in life that may not be about God? The ease and comfort that we might wish to enjoy. You know, I've always thought it'd be fun to have a swimming pool in the backyard. But I don't see a parsonage coming in my future that's going to have a fully submerged swimming pool with all lovely deck around it. I don't see that happening. Now, we had a cabinet spot one time in Kokomo that had one. But I don't think we have that house anymore, so I don't see that one coming. The career we might have liked to achieve that we didn't or haven't gotten to yet, that maybe God isn't going to bring our way because God's calling us to something else. Do you have a dream that you've wished for that maybe God has said, no, not going to happen? To lay aside the shiny things that we might once had a glimpse of that are not going to be because we've chosen to follow Christ. You see, when we follow Christ, we have to sacrifice our will, our wants, and follow and obey what Christ wants and what Christ's will is for our life. For we can never again do what we want if we truly are in a relationship with God. For it's not about us. It's about God. It's about Jesus. We must engage in sacrifice. Take up our cross. I said to you a few moments ago, it's about daily. It's not about once in a while. Not when it's convenient. Not when it's necessary. But all of the time. You see, there will always be a cross in our journey. Maybe it's illness. Maybe it's sacrifice of wealth. Maybe it's a sacrifice of not being able to always do what we'd like to do. But you see, like Jesus, who in Luke turns his face to Jerusalem to make that last trip to Jerusalem, the disciples warned him, don't go there. It's not a place you want to go. It's not a place to go now. But Jesus knew what laid ahead of him. He knew that the end was near. Now, we don't know when our end is. We don't know when our end is going to be our glorious beginning. But yet, we are still called to face our Jerusalem, whatever that may be. And so my question for you today is, are you willing to live in a risky situation? Are you willing to take risks for the sake of Christ that put you out of that comfort zone? I mean, be real. We don't like to be uncomfortable. Who of us really likes to be uncomfortable? I don't know too many of us who do. But when we live in the relationship with Christ, sometimes he calls us into that place of risky business. You know, whenever it's getting that time of the year when appointment season's starting. And I always have a little nervous twitter about this time of the year because I always know when the cabinet's meeting and I always know that that phone may jingle on the other end and the superintendent may call and say, you be expecting a call from George or Sally or Bill or whoever. And you never know when that phone rings what that appointment's going to be. Now, I don't get in a Twitter. I just want to warn us, don't get all nervous because you're thinking, oh dear, here it comes. Calm down. Hasn't come yet. Isn't going to come as far as I know. But that business of appointment making, not knowing where that next appointment's going to be. And you know, and now, since we've merged both annual conferences, North and South, those words we're not supposed to say any longer in clergy circle because we're all one annual conference. But I know that I could get a call the next couple weeks and Sally could say to me, expect a call from so-and-so. And I know that so-and-so might be down in the very southwest part of the state. And I really don't want to go to the southwest part of the state. Never been to the southwest part of the state. Now, there might be some very wonderful things in the southwest part of the state. But I have my plan about where I'd like to be if that call gets made. But you see, part of being a pastor is agreeing to be itinerant. Agreeing to go where the bishop and where God says I'm supposed to go. And so I have to give up my will. I have to give up my desire to be where I'd like to be. You know, I've been very fortunate for 20 plus years to be mostly in the northeast central part of what has been the old North Conference. But I know in the back of my mind that someday I may get that call that says, you're going to go to, as I always say, I'm going to go to Beaufunk. I don't know where Beaufunk is, but it could happen. Now, Beaufunk one year was Griffith. I don't want to go back to Griffith. I don't want to go back to the Calumet neighborhood. It's a whole different world up there. Now, I've been to Chicago. Chicago's not a bad place, but I like this neighborhood, if you will. But we have to turn our face to Jerusalem. We have to turn our face to being willing to being uncomfortable, to not having what we'd like to have, and things being different, things being uncomfortable, things being risky, because that's what Jesus was about. Jesus was a risk taker. He didn't live comfortably. He didn't have wealth. He didn't have an automobile. He didn't have all the stuff that we have. You know, sometimes there was an author, and it's going to escape me now. Tony Campolo wrote a book some time ago, 20 Hot Potatoes. And one of the chapters was, if Jesus drove an automobile, what would he drive? Would he drive a BMW? Would he drive a Beamer? Would he even drive a car? What would Jesus think about the world in which we live with all of the technology? Not sure he'd be real happy with all of it, necessarily. We've gotten away from the real life that we used to live. So, in talking about self-denial and obedience and following, are you willing to give up that which is comfortable, that which is safe, that which is easy, and live a life that is on the edge, live a life of challenge, live a life that stretches and pulls at times, and invites you not to be where you want to be, but where God wants you to be? But let me share with you the poem. I carry a cross in my pocket, a simple reminder to me that I am a Christian, no matter where I may be. This little cross isn't magic, nor is it a good luck charm. It isn't meant to protect me from every physical harm. It's not for identification for all the world to see. It's simply an understanding between my Savior and me. When I put my hand into my pocket, or maybe you put it in your purse or your wallet, to bring out a coin or a key, the cross is there to remind me of the price that He paid for me. It reminds me, too, to be thankful for my blessings every day and to strive to serve Him better in all that I do and say. It's also a daily reminder of the peace and comfort that I share with all who know my Master and give themselves to His care. So I carry a cross in my pocket, reminding none but me that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, if only I'll let Him be. Will you allow Christ to be the Lord of your life? Will you allow yourselves to live on the edge of life? Will you allow yourselves to live uncomfortably at times? Will you allow yourselves to be stretched and give up that which may be is easy in order to live on the edge and to live that which is hard? Because Christ lived in a hard place at times in order that we might have the promise of salvation. The cross is discipline, and the cross is self-denial and obedience and about following. Take up your cross daily and follow Jesus Christ. Amen. My prayer is that you have decided to follow Jesus, and that no matter what anyone else does, you will continue to move forward. The world behind you, the cross before you, in anticipation of the resurrection, go forth in love and grace and peace of God this day, And may God be with you throughout the week. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.